how about the rise of more exotic methods like cryogenics or the wildlife return of the body, you know, putting the body back into nature and having it decompose naturally and eventually eaten by, you know, wolves?
Well, it's a very organic, and I find people are innately drawn to the idea of what they call green burial. If you saw the series 6 Feet Under, that's the hero of the show, Nate. That's how he goes out. The family carries him to a burial ground, which is in a forest and not a traditional cemetery. In a shroud and not in a casket, he's buried. You know, people. The family fills the hole with sand by hand, and a rock and a tree is placed to mark the spot. Not a tombstone. It has both the illusion and the romance of literal back to earth. And you know, when I talk to people about it, you can see the eyebrows pick up, and they say that sounds oddly appealing. The problem is availability. There are a few green burial cemeteries in the United States, but not many. There's one in the works in Canada, possibly two, one on the West Coast and one in Guelph, Ontario, but it's a long way away yet. So it's still at the idea phase. Now, that's once again common in Europe. In the UK, about 10% of all the dead are buried in burial forests. You know, there's been a number of farmers who have their approach to dealing with a dwindling economy is to turn farmland into burial land. So they've established green cemeteries in the UK. It's not uncommon there, but it's still a growth industry in the U.S. and Canada hasn't quite hit there yet. But there are other methods, too. You know, there are some technologies that are poised to replace cremation that are arguably more ecologically friendly. I mean, cremation seems like a very clean and efficient way to deal with the body. You're not necessarily using embalming chemicals and burying a big casket and vault and taking up real estate. But there's a lot of fossil fuel that gets burned up. Every cremation is about the equivalent of an 800-kilometer car ride. So if you're really concerned about leaving an ecological footprint, you might raise a question about cremation. Now, there's a process called resomation, which is basically a dissolving of the organic part of the body, the flesh, through alkaline hydrolysis, a kind of a chemical reaction. The body is placed in a bath of alkaline and is dissolved, leaving clean white bones, the same process of cremation, but without using the fire. Now, if you can get past the ick factor there,
right.
I know that there are a couple of funeral homes in Canada that are looking into resomation. I've talked to funeral directors who say, you know what, it's still cost prohibitive. It's never, and plus it's socially, it's never going to catch on. We'll see.
It very much reminds me of what Jeffrey Dahmer was doing.
Oh, dear. See, this is what I'm talking about,
yeah,
right?
But it
like,
was.
It doesn't have that romantic notion of clarity, cleansing through fire. No, not if you're bringing up Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a little bit like getting sheep dipped or something. It sort of seems like, you know, it doesn't, I get it. And I think that's an interesting possibility, but I could see why that one might be harder to catch on at this point.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear discussions with potential investors on how to market this. There's also a process called promession, which is being piloted in Sweden, which is a freeze-drying of the body, the way you would freeze-dry food for a camping trip or you know, to send up with astronauts. Then the freeze-dried body is shaken down into a kind of pink powder that, like cremated remains, can be buried or scattered and is organic enough that it acts as a natural fertilizer. So,
yeah, but what if you got
again, you're not using the fossil fuels, and then you're in the afterlife, you're working as a fertilizer.
But, which I like that, but I mean, what if you got that freeze-dried stuff wet?
Well, it's going to happen if you put it in the ground, for sure.
Yeah. But I mean, in your hand, wouldn't it get all globby? Wouldn't it get
I've
all
never
like
experienced that?
I mean, I've had a few MRIs, which were freeze-dried, and then we added hot water to it, and it sort of reanimated a little bit.
It's not very appealing, is it?
Well, I mean, it's an interesting idea. I mean, for that matter, why not, you know, take the body and put it in liquid hydrogen and then just, you know, crack it, just make, you know, shatter it into like the metallic guy in Terminator 2 or something like that.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned cryonics. I mean, this is what is happening to hundreds of clients of cryonics institutes in the U.S., being put on ice, and they're doing all kinds of experiments. Unfortunately, the problem that they found was when you freeze a body using liquid nitrogen, that liquid or ice crystals form, and when it comes time to thaw the body, those ice crystals have done a great deal of damage. If you know that any food that you eat that's been frozen is just not the same consistency of fresh food. Ice crystals form and kind of degrade the cell walls, and then things get a little sloppy and loose. They're now experimenting with what they call vitrification, which is instead of freezing the body into an ice crystal solid, it is more like a glass, which is technically a liquid, a very slow-moving liquid, but you're not getting crystallization and damage to the body. So this is the latest development in cryonics. It just means that those who have been cryonically preserved, you know, the first round, the people in the late 60s and 70s, there's a bit more question of whether if miracles happen hundreds of years from now and people can be revived from cryonics, that those first round of folks who were frozen might be lost.